you, Ari. How are you?
Hey, Rajesh. Good. Excited for another get-together. What have you got on your mind?
Okay, so I got a topic, and I'm going to frame it up as, what does B2B marketing and total human consciousness have in common? And what I want you to do here is I want to tell you like a little bit of kind of what's been going through my mind. And then, if you could tell me, A, I'm a raving lunatic and need to be like locked up somewhere, or B, you might have something here and let's build on it. That would be really great. So I'm sort of like taking a little bit of a flyer in terms of the topic. What do you think?
I love it. And to tell you the truth, I've been waiting for this moment to tell you whether you're a raving lunatic for a long time. So it does feel like we're going to finally get to the crux of our relationship.
That's great. That's great. Okay. All right. So here's my thinking, which is that like half of all experience, all customer experience is how a customer shows up for that experience. So we spend a lot of time thinking about, account-based marketing. We talk about marketing qualified lead to sales qualified lead. We talk about, how we help move people into trials or demos or to attend a breakfast with us or to come to one of our large events, like in IBM, I think of Think, right? It's like, what do we do as a brand, as a company, and how does that manifest itself in meeting our customers' needs and driving outcomes for our business? But that's only half the story. There's another complete half to customer experience in B2B marketing that we don't talk about. And that's, how does our customer or our prospect or our partner show up to engage with the experience we are creating? What is their human consciousness at the moment that they are engaging with our content or acting as an audience member or acting as a collaborator in a workshop? Would we be better served by making everybody meditate for 5 minutes before the keynote went on at Think, or breaking into a small group and doing sentence stems where we talk about our ambition for what we want to try to accomplish over the next 18 months, or our concerns about what's holding us back, or even perhaps, do we spend a moment to just take three deep breaths and remind ourselves while we're here and ground into the moment itself? And if we were to help our audience, our partners, our customers show up with their full consciousness, their full creative self, their full creator ability within themselves, would we be making better experience?
Okay. Not raving mad, but I do want to see if I get it and can connect it back to then the more mundane B2B topics we were talking about. Because there's no doubt in my mind that what you're saying is true in the inclination or the predisposition of an audience walking into an experience is powerful for shaping that experience. That could be, when I think about it from the more commonplace, as simple as we know when someone walks into one of our events, if they have read our thought leadership before the event, not all of human consciousness, but just a small step that reframes how they're thinking about what that experience is going to be, that the experience is largely dictated by expectations. That part feels entirely true to me. And very practical, and something when you consider the design of customer journeys or something back on the mundane side of marketing life is underutilized. That feels like part of what you're saying. Do you think it's that and more?
Well, I think it's this idea that, like, I go into something and, am I present? Am I listening with a filter? Am I not multitasking? Am I leaving unconscious or conscious bias at the door? Am I acting with curiosity? Am I hungry? Like, how am I? There are meetings that I go to, there are experiences that I go to where I am better, and then there's somewhere I'm worse. And it's like as creators of customer experiences, are we trying to take care of both sides of the equation? Or like I was at a client's office the other day, and there was a big sign in the conference rooms, and it said, "At our company, we discourage using your phone during the meeting. Please stay off your phone." And I was like, "Oh, I wonder if that sign and that cultural norm creates a better experience for when we get together." And then, are there other examples of that that open me more up to whatever is going to be discussed?
Yeah, that example makes sense to me. I'm trying to then land it back in my selfish and petty and growth-oriented mindset. Sorry, human consciousness, but I want to make some money off this. So I'm thinking about, for instance, we had a workshop last week and we were thinking about Mobile World Congress and the event there that IBM participates in. We're going to have 300 customers show up at that event. And we didn't talk about it in the terms you're using, but we did talk about what is the predisposition of those 300 clients when they walk in that door. And the way they experience that event and the way they experience our booth and the way they experience the breakout sessions they've agreed to do with us is very much a function of, I suspect, everything you're talking about. What's happening with their family and how did they sleep last night and what did they have for breakfast and what's happening at work? But also, what's their going in point of view about IBM and what are they wrestling with in their company about generative AI and the opportunities and the risks of it? We didn't come to a great conclusion other than one of the things we realized is in our planning for that event, our journey was very, very basic. It was emails inviting you to the party. It was invitations to do a breakout session. It was a white paper or a download. But it wasn't trying to holistically prepare someone for what could be a positive experience. No, I don't think that entered the conversation at the level you're describing at all. I'm trying to think of then, if you had been in that workshop and you had this idea in mind, how would you have helped guide the conversation? How would you help guide me and the team to think about it a little bit differently?
Okay, so I have been to Mobile World Congress a number of times. Love Barcelona. I have worked in a booth earlier in my career, like, and I mean, I have shown up and I have been completely out of whack, and then having to immediately get going. Like, I also have had times where I've gotten there a couple days early and been a little bit better. But I think, like, so let's use Mobile World Congress, which is this incredible congress for our listeners that happens in Barcelona every year, and tens of thousands of people descend and talk about, like, all of these things that are, the future of technology and telecommunications and the future of AI and every cutting edge thing that's happening in that moment in time. The first thing, though, is there's a lot of sea of sameness. So like everybody is like trying to get your attention, and there's like these big show floors, and you walk around, and it's like think of it like similar to CES in that way, with different breakouts and keynotes and incredible speakers and great content, but still a lot. And so the first thing I would think about is like, how do we, recognizing this idea of human consciousness, like as a key component, how do we fit in and stand out at the same time? We need to fit in as it relates to Gen AI, but then like, what's our standout thing? Because everybody's going to be talking about Gen AI. So like, is our standout thing that we're going to connect Gen AI to like, the thing inside of us as an individual? Like, that could be interesting. Like, some sort of hook that breaks through the sea of sameness. And you guys, I'm sure, have come up with that and have a point of view on that. But then number two, how am I creating an experience that is talked about or is different or is unique? Now, still in the realm of saying like, hey, I'm going to still run a workshop and I'm going to still run my AI content and everything I want to say, but do it in a slightly different way that resonates more deeply with me as a human being. Like, we know that brands who establish an emotional connection grow revenue at 2x and profit at 2.7x. So what is it that's actually going to result in a deeper emotional connection, a deeper connection to my consciousness? And I'll tell you, a large part of that is like, how do I connect with another human being? So like, if we were to start our breakout session at Mobile World Congress with a 2-minute guided meditation, I mean, nobody else is going to do that. That's like kind of weird, and you could say that's off brand for us, but like the one thing you can't argue is like nobody else is doing that. And so like even that moment creates a memorable moment that breaks out from sea of sameness. You could say it might not be like, but it happened. And then number two, as a result of priming that person through like some sort of breath work or some sort of positive affirmation or a sentence stem or watching an inspirational video that's not even connected to work at all, but connected to gratitude, would that in turn result in somebody experiencing the content that we're delivering or the connection with one another in a deeper way that would make us stand out later in their journey? That's how I would connect it. What's your take in terms of, does that resonate?
I'd have to see if I could sell the breath work to our events team. Like they're not as progressive as you might be, but
Doesn't have to be breath work,
it
but
doesn't.
the idea is like, and I mean, I'm riffing off the cuff. We would have to go a little deep. Maybe it's breath work though. I don't know. Oh my gosh.
I absolutely I've been in IBM meetings. Big leadership meetings within IBM where there was a moment of meditation to start the meeting. So it's not completely alien to the culture of the company. The thing that strikes me first, somewhat randomly, but this fitting in and standing out, you've shared that with me before, and I like that framework. I like that structure. When you're describing it, it reminded me of an interview I once read with Martin Scorsese, of all things. See if this connection makes sense. If you know the movie, and if not, you should definitely watch the movie Raging Bull. It's an all-time classic about a boxer. And it's a gruesome, it's a violent boxing movie. It really focuses on the violence of the sport. And at some point, after all these scenes of boxing violence, Scorsese was trying to think, how do I escalate to another level? How do I make it even more? And realized he couldn't make it louder. He couldn't make it bigger. And he ended up cutting the sound from it completely. And it just became a silent movie for this period of time. And it does strike me as a metaphor for what you're describing, which is it's still a sports movie, it's still a boxing scene, but the way you're going to stand out is actually being quiet when people are expecting noise. So I can imagine taking that metaphor and extending it into that experience. I wonder, the thing that strikes me actually is an example that comes up a lot as I've talked to people about things like generative AI is people have a lot of anxieties. They have a lot of hopes, they have a lot of dreams, and they also have a lot of fears and concerns that relate to the industry, but also personally. Is my job at risk? Am I going to be called out for not really understanding this technology? Could I be a person who leads my company into the future on the positive side? I do think some reflection on that, whether it's in the form of meditation, whether it's in the form I could imagine a board where everyone's just able to put their hopes and dreams on the board before they enter. I do think something that opens you up to talking about the emotional side or the personal side of B2B decisions, which can feel very analytical and they can feel very structured. But our research says actually in B2B, those decisions are highly emotional and they're highly personal because in some ways you're betting your career on these choices. So yeah, how do you lower the anxiety, increase the openness to have a better conversation, which for a company like us that's talking about transformation, not just products, is a much better starting place than saying, can I show you a demo of my model?
Yeah, no, that's great. I mean, I wonder too, like, we're talking about an event, but I wonder too, like, how some of this might translate to, we're in a nurture stream now and we're receiving emails and, we recognize that our buyers have anxiety or there's a subset of buyers that are partners who are experiencing their own hopes and dreams and fears. Is there something that, like, again, helps us to, like, fit in and stand out? Like, what about, and again, I don't know if this is a good idea or a bad idea, but, like, you receive an email and before, like, in the header, before the content, it simply just says fear. False evidence appearing real. And like, and then you go right into the content. You're kind of like, whoa, what was that? Like, why did they just say fear, false evidence, or breathe? You got this. Like, I wonder if there's also a way to, like, it translates to other modes of communication. And you remember so well our episode with Christopher Graves, and I'm reminded of, like, the promotion and the prevention mindset as well. Like, the promotion is you got this. The prevention is, pick us and don't, or you may mess it up. Like, how are you kind of recognizing? Because there's probably a way here of doing something that stands out in that format as well.
If we could tie the kind of philosophy, spiritual almost
Yes.
ideas you're framing back to email of all the most boring, uninteresting routes, we would have broken new ground in the world. I do think it's an interesting connection. Part of it, in the practical sense, is what you're describing to me also feels talking to the person, aside from whether they need to do the meditation or the reflection, how many communications, how many booths at an event, how many emails are trying to communicate to me, especially in B2B, and tell me either, take a breath, this is going to be okay, or I got your back, this is going to be okay. But it's just not normal. It would be interesting to, I'll turn into an analytical exercise, run some A/B tests across different ways of communicating, and we could do a real experiment around what the right way to bring this to reality is.
Yeah, and I think, a lot of what we do here at Ogilvy is always grounded in culture and, like, the changing face of culture and society and the world. And I think thematically, one of the things they see there is that, like, I want to say like 5, 6 years ago, there was a phrase like bring your whole self to work, or like bring your whole self to work. I think, there's this recognition happening right now that like we are whole human beings. We spend a lot of time as knowledge workers, like at work, engaged in work, thinking about work when we're not at work. We make deep personal connections along with our professional connections. That separation line is gone. And yet I feel like that hasn't necessarily caught up to us when we think about like B2B marketing. B2B marketing doesn't seem to be on the forefront of recognizing, that, hey, like mindfulness, for lack of a better word, combined with philosophy, combined with B2B marketing, like there could be something there. And so I think this is an opportunity for us to sort of step back and say, does it have applicability? Is there things that we can A/B test? And I love that idea of test and iterate and learn.
If you bring the ideas together, there's something practical here because I do think whether it's the email or back to the Mobile World Congress, I'm convinced that the way you enter that experience is going to shape how you feel about it. That doesn't feel out there or debatable. And we don't do enough work to prepare people to have that be a positive experience. Maybe in the case of, I'm thinking still about generative AI. How do you help people set aside their fears so they can listen more fully? How do you help people articulate their aspirations so they can be more enthusiastic? And I could imagine small exercises that feel accessible to people who may not be quite as far out there as you are, but I could imagine small exercises introduced through email or social that do prepare people for that in a way that feels comfortable and natural for them. But I bet you're right. On some level, I'm willing to place the bet with you that if we could get them to that one step further, whatever that is, they are going to actually experience the event, the demo, the trial, the presentation differently. It will actually be a different thing. That's a wild thought.
I love it. I love it. We got there. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, great to see you, Ari. Lots more to talk about.
Didn't think we could land this one. Thanks for taking me through it.
See you, my friend.